We're going to sing in a moment about the background to our passage this morning, which is that God had given Israel good kings, kings like David and wise kings like Solomon. But the kings that followed had rejected God. They thought they were strong, and so they trampled all over people who were weak and small in their eyes. And while we sing it, we've got a building game to do. So I need some folk who are good at Duplo. Is anyone good at Duplo? Anyone good at building things? James reckons he's good at building things. Sebi, are you good at building things with Duplo?
I'm good at it.
Ben, are you good at building things with Duplo? Yeah. Is Noah big enough to have a go at some Duplo? I don't know if anyone else wants to come and try building things. Mark Smith, are you good at building things with Duplo? Yeah, okay. So here's the challenge. You want to build a tower. Mark, if you wanted to kind of supervise some Duplo, if anyone else wants to come up and help with building some Duplo, we want to build a tower that is as tall and as big as we can and as upright as we can in the time it takes us to sing our first song. Okay, so let's stand and we're going to sing together of how David was a mighty king, but Jesus is even better. Guys, that is great building. Well done. I think we need to do a bit of an inspection of it and see how good it is. I think we should ask the architect who inspects this building in the quinquennial to check it out. So, Philip, could you come up? And we've got here something called a plumb line. You might have come across a plumb line before. It's a bit of string with a weight on the bottom. This isn't a very professional one. I just found whatever I could find on the bottom to measure it up. But, Philip, do you want to have a look and tell us what you make of this tower? How does it measure up, this wall, this tower? How straight is it?
That's pretty good, actually. It's got one of those cantilevers in it, like the Beedon Tower in Manchester. It's very trendy.
Trendy and straight. Okay, I think we should have a round of applause for all our builders. Thank you very much, Philip. That's brilliant. But we're going to read a bit of the Bible now where we just... Oh, thank you, Philip. Can I have that back? Brilliant. Where we discover that God has a plumb line. We'll find out what that's about. So, Lynn, are you going to come up and read for us from Amos chapter 7? If you want to follow it along, it's on page 921 of the Bible if you're a reader.
And from here. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Simon, why is God holding a plumb line?
That's a great question, Lynn. Well, God is the perfect builder. He's an even better builder than everyone who's just built this tower, because he is the one who builds things absolutely perfectly. He's going to come and he's going to measure his people, and he's not going to measure their buildings, he's going to measure their lives. See, when we talk about someone who's not quite honest, we say they're crooked, we say they're bent, if they're a bit dodgy and can't be relied on. And so God is going to come and see whether his people are upright. Can they be, when he measures them, what are they going to be like? Now see, this is a photo that we took the other day. James wanted the credit for taking the photo. So this is, now we've got a laser pointer on it here, haven't we? I don't know how we do. What we can see is my plumb line is kind of coming down vertically. That wall is just outside the church. I've got a friend who works for the health and safety executive who won't walk past it because, in his words, when it goes, it's going to go. Just if anyone wants to cross the street before they get a coffee, then. What is Amos saying? Amos is saying our lives are like that wall. They're wonky. Our thoughts, our words, the way we act, they're so flimsy, so vulnerable. We squint. We just don't have the kind of integrity that marks as a person of uprightness. And so that is our life. That is all of our lives. And that's very serious, because here's the big picture of the Bible in two chairs. Let's get two chairs here. At the beginning of the world, when God made the world, he made human beings and God to be friends. So, Lynn, do you want to come and, if you could represent God's chair here, and who can we stitch up now? Shane, you're on the All-Age team. Can we get you out here? Thank you very much. See, God made the world, and he made human beings to be friends with him, facing each other. So, Shane, do you want to take a seat here? Now, what happens at the start of the Bible is that human beings go crooked, we go wrong, we turn away from God. So, Shane, should we turn your chair around? Now, that is terrible news, because it means that because we're squint, we're crooked like that wall. We've chosen to turn away from God. We're not friends with him anymore. But the really bad news of the Bible is that God also turns his chair around. So, Lynn, should we turn your chair around? And so for us now to be friends with God is going to take a double miracle. Not only does our chair have to turn around, but God's chair has to turn around as well. And we'll find out in a few minutes whether that could be possible. But let's stand first and sing of what this God, who is a perfect builder, is like. Yes, thank you very much, Shane and Lynn. You're free to stand now, because we're going to sing of how God is a great big God, this perfect builder. And if we know any actions to go with this, feel free to join in. Lynn, should we make some up as we go along? Let's give it a go.
Right, let's stand
and sing together. Thank you very much, everyone. Well, we've seen the great problem in the Bible is that God's turned his back on us and we've turned our backs on God. But is there any way God can turn around? Let's find out. Lynn, are you happy to read those first few verses from chapter 7 to us now?
This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. He was preparing swarms of locusts after the king's share had been harvested, and just as the second crop was coming up. When they had stripped the land clean, I cried out, "Sovereign Lord, forgive! How can Jacob survive? He's so small." So the Lord relented. "This will not happen," the Lord said. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. The Sovereign Lord was calling for judgment by fire. It dried up the great deep and devoured the land. Then I cried out, "Sovereign Lord, I beg you, stop. How can Jacob survive? He's so small." So the Lord relented. "This will not happen either," the Sovereign Lord said. Oh, Simon, what's all this about? I mean, you know, fire, that burns stuff up. That's pretty obvious, I think. But all these locusts?
Well, I think we might need some help in finding out what locusts do. And we might need some help from, if there are a couple of people who like chocolate spread.
Ooh.
Anyone like chocolate spreads? We've had some brilliant builders already. Anyone else like chocolate spread? Madeline, do you like chocolate spreads? Could you help us? Could you come and help me? Would that be all right? Or I can bring it to you if that helps. Okay. So we've got to work out, what do locusts do with food? So if we've got a nice messy plate here. Chocolate spread. Oh, Chris Babb, you go. Sorry, Josh Babb, I'm so sorry. I thought Chris was going to be coming up as well. There we go, we got one. Okay, can you show me, before we start, partly because we take health and safety very seriously here, and partly because locusts have kind of funny eyes, should we put some goggles on you? There we go. Okay, can you be a locust for us? Madeline, are you happy to be a locust as well? Josh, okay. There we go. And are you happy to, can we have a go at trying to get that as clean as we can between us? All right, Josh, you happy to give that a go? So we've got a really messy plate here. Can everyone see a nice messy plate? Okay, what do locusts do to food? Do you reckon you can show us? Okay, yeah, let's get it as clean as we can. All right, can we? Good work. Oh, this is a very clean eating locust. Here we go. Let's go. How are we doing? Oh no, that's absolutely all right, man. No pressure. Are we? We made a start on it. That's good. Anyone else want to have a go? Surprise, James. I know you boys are quite keen to have a go, aren't you? Let's see how clean can we get this plate. All right. Wow, okay. The big thing we need to take away from this is that locusts are a bit faster, even than Josh. Because locusts are creatures, they're insects that have an amazing ability to eat. There are so many of them. They come on a land and they devour everything that's there, a bit like the fire. And see, Amos was a prophet. He had two jobs. His first job was to see what was going on. And his second job was to say it. So we think visions, that well, they're a bit like a dream, only they're real. So a vision is not seeing something that's not there. A vision in the Bible is seeing what's really there. And so Amos, as a prophet, his job was to see what was going on and to tell people. So he had to come and tell people that God's judgment was coming. And then his job was to say, get out of the way. God's judgment is coming. Get out of the way. Can we go a bit louder? Get out of the way. Oh. So I got this week. I'm so excited. This is such a good toy. It's a great toy, isn't it? Amos' job as a prophet was to tell people to get out of the way of God's coming judgment. And so he had these two visions. Now, Chris, how are we... how are we doing? That's pretty good. All right, there's not much food left on that plate. Brilliant, thank you. You're welcome to take a seat and keep going on it if you'd like to. The point was that these locusts were going to come in and destroy everything. It was at just the wrong time of year as well. It was the time when all the first crop had just been harvested in some kind of income tax. The second crop was coming up, and the locusts came at exactly the point that would destroy a year's food supplies. It would be utter devastation. And so Amos prays. He cries out, verse 2, Sovereign Lord, forgive. How can Jacob survive? He's so small. And God relented. And then the same thing happened with this fire. Amos cries out, Sovereign Lord, I beg you, stop. How can Jacob survive? He's so small. So the Lord relented. He changed his mind. That word, when it's used of human beings in other places in the Bible, is translated repent. God turned around just because of the praying prophet. So we've seen that God is a perfect builder. But what we also meet here is a... There we go. God is a perfect builder. But what we meet here is the praying prophet. Amos is like a lion we found so far in this book. And here he's praying. And the prayers of God, prayers of the prophet, are enough to persuade God to turn round his chair. He's like a father who knows his son's done wrong, knows he needs to be disciplined, but is looking for any excuse not to do it. It's an extraordinary verse. The Lord relented. Well, let's find out in a moment what happens next. But we're going to sing first of how God is a holy God. And because of sin, it's cut us off from being friends. So should we sing? We could do some actions with this. We sing, God is a holy God. We can't be friends because of our sin. So perhaps we could turn our backs on the person standing next to us. We can't be friends because of our sin. Jesus died to wash us clean. When we put our trust in him, we can turn back around. God opens his arms and welcomes us in. God opens his arms and welcomes us in. Shall we stand and let's have a go at singing this through? Let's find out what Amos's first hearers thought of his message. And Lynn, are you happy to read the next bit for us? Amos chapter 7, verses 10 to 17.
Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Get out, you seer, go back to the land of Judah, earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the house of Isaac. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will sell herself for men's pleasure in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land. He's not really a very nice man, is he, Amaziah?
Amaziah is not a very nice man. He's a priest, but here's the phrase, he's a beast of a priest. Can we say that, boys and girls and grown-ups, can we say that? He's a beast of a priest. Shane, could you come back up, please? I feel like we need a priest to help us here. So we've got a good hat for you here. There we go. Thank you very much. Would you like to put on your priest hat? Because what we've... There we go. It's not a bad look. Brian, would you like to take up your chair again? Thank you very much, Shane. Because the thing is, this beast of a priest is so different to Amos. He didn't realize that he was small. He thought he and the nation of Israel were plenty big enough and powerful enough to stand up to Amos's God and Amos's message. And so he heard God's warning, and he'd heard that God's chair was turned around. And do you know what he said to Amos? He said, shut up. That's an awful thing to say to anyone, but to say it to God's messenger. That's what he said. He said, get out, verse 12. Go back to Judah. He says, you're only in this for the money, aren't you? They'll pay you better down south, and they'll be pleased to hear of this message of judgment down there. And he says, you can't say that here. Isn't that a line anyone who works in the public sector has heard a lot over the last few years? You can't say that here. Verse 13, don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. So the horrible thing is that God's chair is turned around, and Amaziah hears that it is possible to be friends with God, and he refuses to turn around. And sin is terrible because it never just affects us. Sin ricochets. It hurts the people around us. And so Amaziah's children and his wife would have terrible things done to them. In the year AD 722, when the Assyrians came in, as the Assyrians came in and took him to exile and did these awful things to his children. Shane, thank you very much. Do you want to have a seat again? Thank you. Now, what has all that got to do with us? It all seems like it was a very long time ago. But as we've met the perfect builder, we've met the praying prophet, we've met the proud priest who says to Amos, just stop. Stop telling people about what God is like. But we live 2,700 years later, and we live in a different time in world history, because what we discover as we read the Bible is a man who is a perfect builder. He is the perfect judge. He was able just to look at someone's heart and know what was inside a person, the Bible tells us. We meet a man who was a praying prophet. He was like Amos. He spoke the truth about God, and he knew the truth about God, and he told people about it fearlessly. And we read that he was also the perfect priest. He was like Amaziah, only he wasn't like Amaziah. He wasn't proud. He was humble. He always trusted God. He always did what was right and good in God's eyes. And so this morning, we have a much clearer vision of what God is like than Amos ever had. Because what is the name of this man? He's a perfect builder. He's a praying prophet. He's a perfect priest. Boys and girls, can you shout it out? Who's the perfect builder? It's Jesus. Thank you very much. He's the one who is the perfect builder, prophet, and priest. And did you know, like Amos prayed to God in his day, the Bible says Jesus is praying for us today. So can you imagine this morning, before the throne of God in heaven, Satan is saying, God, look at those awful people at St. James. Lynn Williamson, what is she doing in church this week after the week she's had? Look at Jack Holt. The things that man has thought this week. How dare he show his face at church? And that hypocrite Tompkins, he's the worst of the lot of them, daring to explain what the Bible says when the life he lives. And it's as if God the Father says, how can they survive? They're so small. And Jesus, the praying prophet, says, Heavenly Father, yes, they're a right mess, aren't they? But I love them, and so do you, and you sent me to die for them. So forgive them, because the punishment that they deserve has already been taken at the cross. And so this morning, it's as if God's chair is turned round for each of us because of the Lord Jesus. And the most important question anyone can face in their life is, have I turned my chair around? So Amaziah heard that God was patient and had turned his chair around. He refused to turn around. And the day came when God said enough. It was too late. He went into exile and judgment. But this morning, for each of us, God's offer of forgiveness is still there. We can still be friends with God if we will turn our chairs around. And it's worth examining our hearts. If we would naturally say, yes, of course I've turned my heart and my chair around. Of course I'm trusting God. Amaziah would have said that very quickly too. Worth taking time just to think, no, am I trusting Jesus? Do I want to turn away from my sins? Do I want him to be my judge, my prophet, my priest? And if the answer is yes, well, how wonderful. How wonderful to have the perfect builder, the perfect prophet, the perfect priest as our friend and our king. Amen.